Blog Talk Radio.
Sports Heaven with Mark and Evan.
It's the best sports radio show the internet can handle.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for tuning in to Sports Heaven with Mark and Evan live via blogtalkradio.com. A great show in store for you tonight. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Mark Elliott.
And I'm Evan Brandoff, and like Mark said, we have a great show for you tonight. A lot going on in sports, spring training underway, a lot going on in hockey, it's getting down to crunch time, and we have a very special guest on our show tonight. Don't we, Mark?
We do. In just a few moments, New York Mets beat writer from the New York Daily News, Adam Rubin, will be joining us. And I believe he's on the line right now. Mr. Rubin, is that you?
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you very much for coming on.
Yeah, we really appreciate this, and we know you're a busy person, so we will get started right away. And the first
Great.
Question... And the first question I have for you is, are you concerned about all of the Mets' injuries right now? Because they seem to really have a lot of them, especially guys like Delgado and El Duque.
Yeah, I think the two biggest concerns, obviously, one, Moises Alou, because he's going to miss time probably at least the first month of the season. And then, well, actually, two, one is not really considered an injury anymore, but Duaner Sanchez is comeback. He pitched Saturday, which was the first time in 8 days that he's pitched. His velocity was mostly 86, 87 on his fastball, which is not very good, and that was 8 days after his last appearance. And the other one is obviously El Duque. Now, they've been saying glowing things about this new delivery with him, but there's a legitimate question mark. Even El Duque said, cross your fingers, how he's going to have success against major league batters, having altered his delivery and not doing that big leg kick anymore.
Now, next question is, do you think that the Mets are going to acquire another right-handed batter to platoon with Church?
Well, I think we haven't seen enough at bats this spring with Ryan Church to know if he could actually hit lefty pitching. He said he was able to do that in the minors, even though the numbers last year weren't stellar. And actually, we spoke to Manny Acta, the Nationals manager, a few days ago, and he was talking about how Church was an everyday player for most of the time he was with the Expos/Nationals. So I don't think the Mets, even with the Alou injury, are going to go out right now and get another outfield bat. The Alou injury probably benefits Angel Pagan, a pinch hitter who's actually more accomplished from switch hitter who's probably more accomplished from the left side of the plate. And then Jose Valentin made his Grapefruit League debut today. He's coming off that ACL tear. They didn't think he was going to be ready for opening day, but perhaps if you leave El Duque behind in St. Lucie for a couple of weeks and you don't need to fifth starter until April 12th, you can put Pagan and Jose Valentin on the roster, and that gives you two righty hitting options.
Now, do you think that the Mets will carry 11 pitchers or 12 pitchers?
I think it's no question they're going to carry seven bullpen people. As I just mentioned, I think they could end up, if El Duque is not ready right away, instead of carrying Pelfrey, I think they could wait till April 12th, the second Saturday of the season, and have four starting pitchers for the first 2 weeks. But I think it's pretty clear that they're going to have, for the bulk of the season, seven relievers and a 12-man pitching staff, which is only five bench people. If there's no trade right now and everyone's healthy, it's pretty clear that it's going to be Billy Wagner set up by Aaron Heilman and Duaner Sanchez, two lefties and Scott Schoenweiss, and Pedro Feliciano, Matt Wise, the former Brewer, and Jorge Sosa, the long man. But that said, you could see Sosa or even Schoenweiss traded, and if Duaner's not ready, that opens up another spot.
Yeah, now later in the season, when everyone's healthy, who do you think is going to be that fifth starter, El Duque or Pelfrey?
Well, I think there's nowhere really to put El Duque if he's not in the rotation. I think the obvious thing, though, is that El Duque is not going to make 30 starts this year, so Pelfrey's going to have his opportunity. If you think to the Mets the last 2 years, last year they used 12 different starting pitchers, including Brian Lawrence and one start by Philip Umber in September when they really needed wins. And then the previous year, they used 13 different starting pitchers. So even if it's not Pelfrey right out of the gate, I'm sure Pelfrey is going to be counted on tremendously. And because there are so few pitchers, starting pitchers now that are capable in the upper levels of the minors, instead of seeing 12 or 13 pitchers, we're probably going to see a lot of starts from Pelfrey this year, even if he's not in the rotation from the get-go.
Now, rumors state that the Mets are shopping Schoenweiss and Sosa. Do you expect either of them to be traded, and what can the Mets expect to get back from those guys?
Well, I think it would be considered more of a salary dump than anything. With Sosa, I think he's probably the more likely one. He's making $2 million this year, and then as a free agent, Scott Schoenweiss is making $7.2 million over the next 2 years, and so that's a bigger contract for another team to take on. The general rule is the more money you eat, the more money, the better prospects you get back, but. The bottom line is if the Mets are going to eat money, it kind of defeats the purpose. So I could see Schoenweiss going. I'm sorry, I could see Sosa going. I don't think Schoenweiss this spring is going to go. I could see him trade during the year. They do have Ricardo Rincon, a lefty that they happen to like, who'd be a lot cheaper. So if they could trade Schoenweiss, they could have Feliciano and Rincon, who work with Rick Peterson in Oakland, in the bullpen. And then if they trade Sosa, certainly a guy like Nelson Figueroa, who's pitched well this spring, he's going to pitch 4 innings in Fort Myers on Tuesday against the Red Sox, could be a guy that sneaks onto the roster as kind of the long reliever, kind of that Aaron Seeley role from last year, or Darren Oliver the year before that.
Now, the Mets have been talking like they're the team to beat in the National League. Do you think that they truly are the team to beat in the National League?
Well, since Carlos Beltran proclaimed that, they've certainly had people dropping like flies, so we'll see. And Beltran and Delgado are supposed to be back tomorrow in game, so that'll help get everyone a little more relaxed about the health of the team. I don't think they're a lock by any stretch. I think they're certainly the favorite in the NL East. But that said, you look at the injuries to El Duque, you look at Duaner's slow progress this spring, you look at Alou being out for a month. If you consider that Delgado has another down year like last year, or his slide continues, Delgado's your fifth hitter, and Alou, your sixth hitter, is out of the lineup right now. It's not quite as imposing after the 1-4 with Reyes, Castillo, who hasn't played yet either. Wright and Beltran 1-4. After that, it gets far less imposing. So, certainly injuries could undermine the Mets, and they're the oldest team in baseball, so it's certainly susceptible to that.
Now, do the Mets seem to be over the collapse from last year, or is there still some talk about that epic collapse?
No, I don't think there's any dialogue right now about that. One, Santana kind of wiped it out a little bit, and then two, the injuries have dominated things. So. Spring training is typically a time for kind of renewal, and I'm sure if there's a slide early on, people are going to remind them about that. Certainly, there's a couple Philly series home and away, the home openers against the Phillies, so that'll be a fresh reminder of it as well. And actually, we start in Florida this year, which is the team that kind of knocked out the Mets that last weekend. And certainly, there's no love lost between the Marlins and the Mets. Reyes got Olivo upset and some other things that last weekend, so that'll be interesting too, and that'll be a fresh reminder of it. But I think it's pretty much behind, and that's put in the past.
All right, well, we're approaching the 10-minute mark into our show, and we've really appreciated you having joining us on the show tonight. Thank you a lot for coming on.
Sure, my pleasure.
And hopefully we'll talk to you again.
Hopefully we can call on you again in the future, and thanks so much for being on tonight. Okay, so Adam Ruman is gone. That was the New York Mets beat writer for the New York Daily News. He wanted to keep his stay short because he's a very busy guy. And we will be right back.
Why is Sports Center with Mark and Evan the best sports radio show for you to tune into? We've had USA Sports writer Jim Bohn back on our show.
The baseball season is so long, and then it's long enough where you can play so poorly for, we're not talking that, 2 weeks here. They were playing poorly for over a month.
NHL.com's Evan Grossman has been on our show.
This is the worst, this unstoppable force that everybody thought they were after winning all the Rangers. And then the Rangers were actually a little bit better against them than the Islanders were. They weren't quite as physical. And I don't think the Rangers defense is as good as the under them, but
we have also had New York Mets beat writer from the New York Post, Mark Hale, on our show.
The Mets not just being a good team or a competitive team, but the Mets being consistently over the last year and a half one of the two or three best teams in baseball.
And, of course, we've had New York Rangers radio broadcaster and Fox announcer Kenny Albert on our show.
Back-to-back Ramirez, Rujo, Veritek, off the rookie Chase Wright, who's making only his second career start. Four consecutive Red Sox home runs in the third inning.
We have even had NBC sports anchor Bruce Beck on our show.
And now the guy that was the stable guy, Mark and Evan, is gone, Joe Torre. And now it looks again like there's a big Steinbrenner, who's running the show. show, and that's Hank. I think he's the guy that's got his dad's personality in terms of a little bit of a temper, and who knows what's going to happen here with all these free agents.
In addition, we've had Yankees beat writer for MLB.com, Brian Hoke, on our show.
You know, if the Yankees falter like they did in the first half, I could see a real situation where they're in third or even as low as fourth. Probably not fourth, but I could see a situation where the Yankees finish in third place.
You're listening to Sports Heaven with Mark and Evan. It's the best sports radio show the internet can handle.
It's a network of shows from a group of average Joes.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for tuning in to Sports Heaven with Mark and Evan Live.
Welcome, everybody, to the Coach Broke Show.
And what's up, everybody? 7:02, Sunday night. Matt and Joe Radio, back again live, and welcome to the Sports Talk again on Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, and welcome to Frank and Sports Guy, and welcome to Sports Talk Live.
And welcome to the Cemetery and Shaman's radio show on Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's going on, people? My name is Kendrick Thomas.
And welcome to this showdown here on Blog Talk Radio.
You can't call him that after the Super Bowl loss. Of course,
you still have
a dynasty, and Tom Brady, and Bill Belichick.
So
I mean,
who was more successful this season, the Patriots or the Giants?
Here's the question I've heard. Game one of the playoffs, who would you rather have on the mound, Johan Santana or Ching Ming Wong? who would you rather have, Moose or Pedro? Johan and Pedro are the answers.
And there's, everybody says, this guy's good, that guy's good. You know what? They're all a bunch of dirtbags, if you want my truthful opinion.
And it says, I had knowledge of him using steroids, and that's just for Roger, no matter what he says, or no matter what Brian Baskin says.
If you want 7 years, $150 million, just give it to him. He's worth every penny. The guy is really an unbelievable.
So basically what he's saying is that as long as you're hurt, it's okay to use it. I have a sore knee. Let me put HGH in my body. I didn't know it was going to make my biceps and triceps and my forearm 3 times the size they were. I used it because I had a sore knee. That's BS.
Justin Smith deserves to be in the Pro Bowl this season.
I don't think he deserves it because he didn't get it.
Apple has teamed up with American Idol to provide American Idol performances on iTunes.
Once again, Apple with their iTunes shoving it around, shoving it in the face.
Just go to myedimedia.com.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the show. We were just joined by New York Mets beat writer for the New York Daily News, Adam Rubin. If you missed it, feel free to listen to the archive of the show by going to blogtalkradio.com/sportsheaven with Mark and Evan. Or later in the week, you can go to freewebs.com/sportsheaven with Mark and Evan. That's our official site. So, as I just said, and as you heard, Adam Rubin was just with us talking Mets. So now I want to move over and start talking some Yankees. And let's see where we should start with that. I want to start, actually, with Mariano Rivera, who pitched the other day. And Mariano Rivera came in, and he did a fantastic job. And he looked very good in his first spring training appearance against the Houston Astros. And this is how his outing looked. He struck a guy out swinging, he had a guy ground out to second, and then he had a strikeout looking. So he threw a total of 8 pitches in that inning, and seven of those 8 pitches were strikes. So Mariano Rivera making his debut against the Astros earlier on in the week, and he did a fantastic job. Evan, your thoughts?
Yeah, Mo obviously knows what he's doing when he makes his own schedule in spring training. He knows that he doesn't need to be there in the beginning. He knows what he needs to do to prepare, and he gets ready, and I'm sure he'll be just as dominant as he has in come the season. That's great to see him, and along with the other Yankee pitchers, I've seen a lot of great starts so far. Like Phil Hughes yesterday, I believe, he threw four innings, no hits, and the Yankees went on to win the game 6-4. They did let up 10 walks in the game, but Yankee pitching staff does seem, if they can hold up, maybe they can be successful this season. What do you think, Mark?
Yeah, also what was very impressive with Mariano Rivera, to me, is people are getting concerned about his age. His numbers have been declining a little bit each year. We spoke about that on the fantasy baseball edition of the show. And I think that the fact that despite his age and his declining stats slightly, he did really well. Of course, it's only spring training, but really a good job. And as to the pitching staff as a whole, I think you're right. I think the pitchers have looked good. We'll get into Chin Ming Wong a little bit later because the other day he did very poorly. I guess we could talk about Chin Ming Wong while we're on
the Yankee game was today. I got a little bit confused.
But Chin Ming Wong, while we're on the subject of Yankees pitchers, the other day allowed 6 runs on 6 hits. He walked 2, and that was all in 2/3 of an inning, and that was in a 12-8 loss to the Reds. So Chin Ming Wong, who's supposed to be the New York Yankees ace, did not pitch like an ace at all.
Spring training.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean that was a terrible outing. And you know, it's tough with spring training because you never know. You know what do those numbers mean? I mean, does that mean Wong's gonna have a bad season? Does that mean Mariano Rivera's gonna have 50 saves? I mean, it's always tough to tell when you have spring training. And, you know, you would never really know till the first few games of the season, the first few outings of the pitchers when they're playing all the starters, not minor leaguers or bench players. I mean, and then they're not only pitching 2 innings either. I mean, Mariano Rivera the other day, he came in the 5th inning. I mean, that's not something that he usually does, obviously, being a closer. So, you know, he wasn't even playing in the same situation that he normally would.
I think spring training for pitchers and hitters is a lot different. Hitters are looking to get hits and carry themselves into getting into a little bit of a groove going to the season. For pitchers, they can let up 5 runs and say that they had a successful outing because they're just looking. They could go 1 inning and only throw a fastball just to get down their fastball. They're not always necessarily looking to get the batter out, but they're looking to just get their pitches down. So Chin Ming Wong may have let up 6 hits and 6 runs, but not saying that he thinks it was. He could have thought it was a successful outing for him because he could have let up those 6 hits and 6 runs, but throwing every single one a fastball inside just to practice that pitch. So I'm not saying that you should say, oh, he was probably just practicing his fastball, but just because a pitcher in spring training isn't successful, it doesn't mean that has any effect, that is going to be a factor in how he's going to be that season.
I absolutely agree with you on that. And also, Chin Ming Wong, after that outing, did say that his arm feels strong. So, I mean, I guess he wasn't too disappointed from the outing. But I don't think from, like, the coach's standpoint, because after a bad outing, a coach may say, well, this pitch had good movement, this pitch had good location. But it didn't seem like the coaches expressed any approval of the outing of Chin Ming Wong, you know, based on his pitches. And the pitching coach said that Chin Ming Wong may feel that his arm is too strong, and actually, after he was taken out, he threw another 15 pitches in the bullpen.
Yeah, Chin Ming Wong, he's a sinker ball pitcher. So they even pitch him on a less rest than he should sometimes, just because sinker ball pitchers, your arm needs to be a little bit fatigued in order to get the bite in your sinker ball that he's capable of. So that'd be funny if they're trying to tire his arm out for the season.
Yeah, I don't think they would try and do that. Just to let our listeners know, if you want to contact us throughout the show, you can do that in a few ways. You can call us at 718-508-9443. And momentarily, you will also be able to instant message us via AIM at gmen 1021-1780. I didn't have the AOL Instant Messenger up before because we had a guest on. I didn't really want to get distracted with that. But we are now on AOL Instant Messenger, so you could, once again, call us 718-508-9443. If you have a Blog Talk Radio account, you could talk to us on our Blog Talk Radio web chat. That's probably the easiest way to get into contact with us. And then, of course, using AOL Instant Messenger, you can contact us at gmen 1021-1780. And feel free to call us up or IM us and jump right into our conversation and ask whatever's on your mind. Sticking on the subject of the pitching, Mike Messina the other day, rather yesterday, had an outing of his own. And in 2 2/3 innings, he allowed one run on a home run aided by wind. And then he also struck out 5 batters, and he also struck out the side in an inning, and he threw 54 pitches in the outing. But the big thing with that outing was, with Mike Messina, is the wind was affecting his pitches, and also they felt that the umpire, Carlson, at home plate, was making very, very bad calls on balls and strikes. And Mike Messina said that there were a half a dozen pitches that he thinks could have been strikes, but there were some bad calls. Girardi was not happy about it either. But Mike Messina was able to get his pitches down. As you know, as I just said, a lot of them were strikes that were called balls. So, and in 2 2/3 innings, he did a good job. And I've been saying a lot, I don't know if I said it on air yet, but I've just been, you know, telling people when I talk about the Yankees, I can't see Mike Messina getting more than 8 wins. I mean, last year he was terrible, and he's old, and I just don't think he's good anymore, and I cannot imagine him. I'm being serious. I'm not exaggerating. He had 10 wins last year. I can't see him getting more than 8 wins. He did have a good outing the other day. Evan, I'm interested on your thoughts of Mike Messina.
I disagree with you. I think he'll get more than 8 wins just because the Yankee lineup is still really good, and even if he doesn't pitch great, the Yankee lineup can score a lot of runs. So I think if he can stay healthy, he should be a 500 pitcher. Or I think he should win at least 10 games as long as he stays healthy. But he's old. He may not stay healthy. But I definitely could see him possibly going down to the minors a little bit this year, too. It could be a tough season, but I do think he's going to win 10 games. 8 is a little low. You disagree, Mark?
Well, I just think that the age, and last year he didn't pitch well at all. I mean, you're right. The Yankees, certainly their offensive potential is great, no doubt about that, especially with some of the young guys like Shelly Duncan and Melky Cabrera, Robinson Cano, and then you also have A-Rod. But I'm not going to just name all the people in their lineup. We know how good they could be. But I think Mike Messina will put himself in situations where he's going to give up lots of rallies and lots of runs in an inning, and the Yankees offense is not going to be able to make up for it. And I had no confidence in him last year every time he went out to make a pitch. I couldn't watch. I didn't think he was going to do well at all. And last year, the offensive potential for the Yankees was great as well, and he only got 10 wins. I'm not saying that the offense will be worse this year, and that's why he'll get less wins. I just can't see him with the age and with how he did last year, him getting more than that.
Well, I guess we'll just have to wait and see. But another Yankee player making his preseason debut is Hideki Matsui. He went 0-for-3 in his debut. How do you think he's going to become the start of the season? He still hasn't played in the outfield. They project him to play in the outfield within the next couple of days, next few days. Do you think he's going to be a big impact for the Yankees this season?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. He made his debut not as an outfielder, but as a DH. And he did go 0-for-3, but, I mean, it was his first outing of spring training. I think he's a little rusty. Matsui is, I mean, he's nowhere above average defensively or offensively, but...
You don't think he's above average offensively? He's Godzilla.
I don't, I mean, Matsui, he's not, He's not a fantastic hitter. That, you know, his numbers don't really wow you by any means.
Very clutch.
He batted .287 in 03, .298 in 04, .305 in 05, .302 in 06, .285 in 07, which isn't terrible. Home run wise, he wasn't bad either. But I mean, I don't think Matsui is, you know, one of those really great hitters. I think he'll have a decent year. I don't think this 0-for-3 should worry any Yankee fans out there. He'll probably play DH for most of the time. I guess what's going on with Giambi, I'm not really sure what that situation is going to be. I mean, Shelly Duncan's really proven to be an offensive hitter, but as for Hideki Matsui, I don't know how much playing time he's going to get, but he'll have, you know, .280s, .290s, .300s again if he plays consistently. That doesn't concern me. But this 0-for-3 outing doesn't worry me, and I don't think he'll do better or worse than he usually does. I think he'll just be that same guy he's been ever since he came to the Yankees.
Now, Mark, a little bit off on a tangent here for 1 second.
Okay.
I just saw the Big Ten bracket for the tournament in the NCAA. Penn State is ranked number 7. For all of our viewers that don't know, Mark is going to be going to Penn State this year, well, next year for college. And, Mark, how do you think they're going to do? Number 7 seed playing Illinois in the first round.
That's exciting stuff. It's good to see. I haven't been following Penn State at all. I actually never follow college sports ever. That's something I'll start to do once I attend Penn State. But, I'll be watching Penn State, see how they do in the tournament. And it should be pretty interesting to see, and I'm excited about that. Penn State basketball team is in a very tough division, tough conference, so it's nice to see that they are in. Are they definitely in, or is that their conference? The Big Ten conference?
Yeah, this is the Big Ten tournament.
Okay, so they have to win the tournament, so they're not in the tourney, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, they're in a tough conference, and that's usually why the Penn State basketball struggles.
Well, if they beat Illinois, they play Purdue in the next round, the number 2 seed. So
I don't know enough about Penn State basketball or any college basketball for that matter to really analyze the situation. And you definitely did go off on a tangent there because I was talking about Hideki Matsui, and all of a sudden we're talking about Penn State basketball, but.
Well, I saw it on ESPN News. So.
But it'll definitely be exciting to see. I will be watching them somewhat closely. And
maybe you'll broadcast some games?
I will attempt to do that. I made that announcement a little while ago, and there's more information on that at myebimedia.com. But back to the Yankees. Again, earlier in the show, we had New York Daily News Mets beat writer Adam Rubin on the show, so if you missed it, you can listen to the archive almost immediately after the show. Once this ends, you'll be able to hear our interview with Adam Rubin. He did a great job. We were glad to have him on. But now we are talking some Yankees. And just to continue on, just a couple of more points. Yesterday, one of the Yankees' very young catchers, it got Girardi very upset. Francisco Cervelli was collided with by Elliot Johnson of the Rays, and the catcher for the Yankees, Francisco Cervelli, fractured his right wrist, and Girardi thought that was a dirty play. He was very upset, and, you know, not really much to analyze there, just some news. And then the last thing that I want to mention, back on the topic of Yankees pitching, is Kyle Farnsworth thinks that Joe Torre lost confidence in him, which doesn't surprise me because Farnsworth was a piece of garbage at times. But this year he thinks that he can have a bounce-back season under Joe Girardi, and he's very confident. What are your thoughts on Kyle Farnsworth?
I don't know. I think he's really a question mark until the season. You can't really base, like I said before, I really don't think you could base any pitcher's success on how they do in preseason. So he's definitely a question mark. I think he has a potential. I mean, the Yankees really need him to be good. If you look at the Yankees' bullpen, they need some of those question marks to be successful this year. So hopefully he says his arm feels strong. I hope he's going to be able to do well for the Yankees this season. What do you think, Mark?
Well, you know, I think that this is a positive thing because, I mean, Farnsworth definitely has that hard fastball, which is good as long as he can control it. But I think the fact that he's confident is a positive thing. See, last year, you know, he struggled at times, and then on top of the struggling, if you thought that Joe Torre lost confidence in him, well, now he's going out there really, you know, nervous, got a lot of butterflies in his stomach saying, well, Torre has no confidence in me, but he had no choice. He had to bring me in, and I have to go out there right now and do a good job. So that's why he probably continued to struggle, because he felt really pressured to impress the Yankee fans and Joe Torre especially. But this year, I think with the new manager and him feeling confident rather than really nervous, I think he'll go out there, and I don't know about a bounce back season, but I mean I think he'll be better than next year. I think the confidence will really help him.
Well, let's hope so. And
yeah. You know, you always want your players to be confident, so the fact that he is of course a positive. He's not going to feel in any way pressured from last year. He seems to be over that. He's got a new manager. It's a new season, and he's confident to go out there and do well. And just once again, because I'm noticing new people coming into our show, listening in, New York Mets beat writer for the New York Daily News, Adam Rubin, joined us. He was very busy, so he gave us the first 10 minutes of our show. That's when we talked about all our Mets. That's why we're doing Yankees now. If you missed the interview with Adam Rubin, just listen to the archive show immediately following this show at the same website you're at right now.
I really recommend doing that. He put in some really interesting insight. It was good to hear from him. Don't you agree, Mark?
Yeah, he's a good guy, and it was a good interview. That pretty much wraps it up for baseball. As I said, we did Mets. We just wrapped up baseball. And then when we come back on the other side of the break, I want to talk about some NHL. So stick around. We'll be back in about 4 minutes.
He popped him up. He's going to get it. Rocious down from third. Rocious makes the catch. Ball game over. A perfect game. A perfect game for David Cone.
There is Deal. Fastball hit in the air to left field. That's deep. Back goes Chavez back through the wall. Leaping, and he made the catch. He took a home run away from Rowland. Trying to get back to first Edmund. He's doubled off.
Broken bat, foul ball off the right side, and the barrel of a bat came out to Clemens, and he picks it up and throws it back, and Piazza's walking out toward the mound, and now the home plate umpire, Charlie Rutherford, gets in between them. Piazza points to himself, and so does Clemens.
In the air to deep right field, that ball headed toward the wall, that ball is out of here, a game-winning grand slam home run.
Drive in the air to center field. Timo Perez jumps in the air, waiting for it to come down, makes the catch, and the New York Mets are the 2000 National League champions.
Giambi on his way to third, and they're going to wave him around. The throw misses a cutoff man, shoved into the plate, out of the plate. Derek Jeter with one of the most unbelievable plays you will ever see by a shortstop.
And the 0-1 swung on, hit in the air. Bernie back, away back, he's there, he makes the catch, ball game over, World Series over, Yankees win!
Here's Aaron Boone to lead off, his first at bat of the game, there's a fly ball deep to left, it's on its way, there it goes, and the Yankees are going to the World Series! Aaron Boone has hit a home run!
By the net, sweeps it in front, he's down!
Again, it'll be a 3-2. The stretch and pitch.
swung on and popped up again. Off third, Hayes has room. Hayes makes the catch. Yankees win. Oh, Yankees win. The New York Yankees have won the 1996 World Series.
There's a snap. There's a kick. It is up. It is no good. Norwood missed. 4 seconds left. The Giants have won Super Bowl 25.
And McTavish with 1:06. Puck is dropped. McTavish controls. And it's all over. The New York Rangers have won the Stanley Cup. Something most people did not think they would hear in their lifetime.
Sports Heaven with Mark and Evan, your source for all New York sports.
It's a network of shows from a group of average Joes.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for tuning in to Sports Heaven with Mark and Evan Live.
Welcome, everybody, to the Coach Broke Show. And what's up, everybody? 7:02, Sunday night, Matt and Jay Radio, back again live, and welcome to the Sports Talk again on Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, and welcome to Frank and Sports Guy, and welcome to Sports Talk Live.
And welcome to the Cemetery and Shaymits Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's going on, people? My name is Kendrick Thomas.
And welcome to Distant Showdown here on Blog Talk Radio.
You can't call her that after the Super Bowl loss. Of course,
so Mark,
they still have the dynasty and Tom Brady and Bill Belichick.
So
I mean,
Mark, who was more successful this season, the Patriots or the Giants?
Here's the question I've heard. Game one of the playoffs, who would you rather have on the mound, Johan Santana or Ching Ming Wang?
Well,
the question,
I guess
who would you rather have, Moose or Pedro? Johan and Pedro are the answer.
And there's, you know, everybody says, oh, you know, this guy's good, that guy's good. You know what? They're all a bunch of dirtbags, if you want my truthful opinion.
And it says, yeah, I had knowledge of him using steroids, and that's just for Roger, no matter what he says or no matter what Brian Backley says.
He wants 7 years, $150 million, just give it to him. He's worth every penny. The guy is really an unbelievable.
So basically what he's saying is that as long as you're hurt, it's okay to use it. I have a sore knee. Let me put HGH in my body. Oh, I didn't know it was going to make my biceps and triceps and my forearms 3 times the size they were. I used it because I had a sore knee. That's BS.
Justin Smith deserves to be in the Pro Bowl this season.
I don't think he deserves it because he didn't get it.
Apple has teamed up with American Idol to provide American Idol performances on iTunes.
Once again, Apple with their iTunes shoving it around, shoving it in the face.
Just go to myedimedia.com.
Okay, welcome back to the show. We've had a great show so far. We've already been joined by New York Mets beat writer for the New York Daily News, Adam Rubin. If you missed the interview, you can hear the archive of that interview immediately following this show. We just finished talking about the New York Yankees. So now we can move on to the NHL. And oh my, do I have a lot of stories to tell. There is a lot to tell. And I want to start with the New York Rangers. And I was in attendance for today's New York Rangers game. It was a very exciting game. Alex Auld was the goalie for the Bruins. The Bruins played last night. Alex Auld was the goalie last night. He was the goalie again tonight, today rather. And the Bruins apparently do not have a lot of confidence in Tim Thomas, as they shouldn't, because he has just been absolutely awful lately. And the New York Rangers, of course, had their star Henrik Lundqvist play today. And both goalies were absolutely fantastic. It was nothing-nothing after the first. It was nothing-nothing after the second. It was nothing-nothing after the third. It was nothing-nothing after overtime. And finally, the Rangers ended up winning 1-0 in a shootout. Nigel Dawes has been unbelievable for the Rangers in the shootout. He scored in the shootout again today. Lundqvist was fantastic, as was Auld. But that is not all that happened in today's game. And, I mean, the Rangers missed some opportunities. Avery hit the crossbar on the shot. Straka had an opportunity. The puck slid off his stick.
I believe Scott Gomez had a bit of a breakaway. He missed the net. But I mean, it was a really exciting game for the New York Rangers today. But I have two other stories to go along with that, and I'm definitely going to put this story on the new MyEDI Media blog. There's now a blog for MyEDIMedia.com, and I will write this story that I'm about to tell in my blog entry. I'm actually very excited. Now, last year, it was April 22nd of 2007. That was a Sunday night, I believe, or it was a Saturday. We had a Sports Heaven with Mark and Evan episode, and Kenny Albert, along with our Sports Heaven sports expert, Alan Moy. But Kenny Albert, as you may know, he's a Fox announcer. He also is a radio broadcaster for the New York Rangers. He was on our show on April 22nd. And the thing about radio booths in the NHL is the radio booths are with the fans. You can walk. There's not even security. Besides the fact of those ushers and those maroon jackets that tell you where your seats are, you can literally just walk right into the radio booth. There's no door or anything. It's just a little section, and you can walk right in and talk to the broadcasters. And after intermission, now Alan Moy, who I was at the game with today, he knows Kenny Albert like personally. He knows him well. Kenny recognizes him. He knows who he is. So Kenny Albert left the booth during the first intermission. And he went to go do something. I don't know. He went under a tunnel, maybe got a drink. I don't know. But on his way back, he stopped. He saw Alan. He said, "Hey." Alan introduced me, and I said to Kenny Albert, because he stopped. He's a very nice guy. We talked to him. And Kenny Albert was just like, "What's your name?" And I'm like, "Mark." And he's like, "Oh, hey, Mark." And I'm like, "Do you remember Sports Heaven with Mark and Evan? You did a show last year." And he's like, "Yes, I do." And I'm like, "Well, I'm Mark." And he's like, "Well, it's great to meet you. It's good to meet you in person." So I was actually very excited because I got to meet Kenny Albert face-to-face. We didn't really have an in-depth conversation. We just spoke for about 2 minutes or so because he had to get back to broadcasting, wrap up the intermission report, and get ready to broadcast the game. But it was pretty exciting. I was in the 400 section, and the broadcast booth was in the 200 section. So I left my seat. I went down, and I got to talk with Kenny Albert. So that was pretty exciting, meeting him face-to-face, finally.
Now, Mark, I have a quick question. When you were you just walking around, and you happened to run into him, or you were actually...
No. We planned to go and see him. So we were actually standing there, and he was sitting in the little broadcast area, but Alan has been to the game before and seen him, so he kind of knew his routine. So Kenny walked out, and he just went around, and he went somewhere, I'm not really sure where, and didn't say anything when he walked away, but when he came back, he was talking to his family. His two daughters and his wife have a seat right behind the broadcast section, and after he finished talking to them, we just stuck around, and he came back, he said hello to us, we had a conversation, and Alan was actually talking to him about Tim Thomas, as I was just mentioning, because Alan said, "I wish Tim Thomas was playing, because we would score a million goals on him." And Kenny Albert was just having a conversation with Alan Moy. I was right there with him, explaining, you know, how poor Tim Thomas has been lately. So, you know, it was pretty cool just... You know, he knew who I was, but he had never seen me before, so it was cool finally meeting him in person, and he knew who I was, so, you know, it was exciting. But that's not the whole story. So I returned, that's the whole story, but there's more to tell from what happened at this Ranger game. I went back to my seat after talking to Kenny Albert, and this big, fat, drunk idiot sitting right next to me decided to drink beer all game, and he puked. And it was, he puked on a kid that was maybe 4 years old on the seat in front of him. And I thought, the kid just got up, he's like to his head, like, this guy spit on me. And it was really funny, but there was a bad odor, and it smelled really bad. So we had to get a guy to clean up.
Bad odor smelled really good.
Yeah, well, you know, it smelled like vomit. And it took a little while. We had to ask twice, but we got a guy to clean it up. And I learned something about vomit today. You know, I how would you clean up vomit off of a floor? Well, this guy who cleaned it up has to be an expert. He came. I had no clue what he was doing. I thought he was out of his mind, but it seemed to work. He took a pile of dirt. He took dirt, like soil, and put it on top of the vomit, just spread it around on top of the vomit, and then he took a broom, swept up the dirt, and the vomit was gone. So I learned today how to clean up vomit, so that was pretty interesting. I'm thinking in my head, why is this guy pouring dirt on vomit? That's not going to clean it up, but...
It's so gross.
Yeah, I mean, after he swept up a pile of dirt that was on the vomit, that was it. The vomit was gone. So a very eventful day with a 1-0 shootout win by the Rangers, me meeting Kenny Albert face-to-face, and a big, fat, drunk idiot puking on a little kid and all over the floor. And it was a very eventful Rangers game today.
Was he kicked out, or did he say?
No, what happened was his friends took him, he left, and he missed the whole second period. I think he was getting medical attention. But that didn't stop him because he came back and he probably had about 5 more beers at least during the remainder of the third period, which is when he came back. And if he puked again, I was going to, you know, punch him in the face.
Okay, Mark.
Yeah, okay. We have a caller on the line. Maybe he'd like to contribute to my story here, 516 area code. And... see if you can get me. You're on the air.
All right, guys. Thank you for having me on the air. Yeah, I was at the game today, Madison Square Garden. In fact, I was sitting right next to the host of the show, Mark. Isn't that right, Mark?
That is. Thank you, Alan, for calling in.
You're welcome, yeah. After Tim Thomas gave up, 13 goals the past 2 games, I don't know what the Bruins coach is going to do. What do you think? Would you stick with Alex all for the rest of the season, or will you give Tim Thomas another chance?
I think it's a question of momentum, because, I mean, right now Tim Thomas isn't playing well, Alex Auld is, and, you know, you need to give Alex Auld a break eventually, but I think with all of the success that Alex Auld is having, he's going to have a lot of momentum, and the Bruins right now find themselves in 7th place, and you know, they're a good team. They'll probably make the playoffs. And I think if Alex Auld continues to play well, that momentum will carry him through the rest of the season and throughout the playoffs.
Mark, how much momentum does he have? The Bruins won yesterday, right?
Yeah,
they won last night, but then they lost in a crushing shootout tonight. I don't know how much momentum he has. He may have had a shutout going into it, but that really takes a lot out of you. And Tim Thomas has... been playing horribly lately, but I think you should give him another shot, because if you look at his past, he has been a pretty dominant goalie in the NHL.
Yeah, well, I mean, Alex Auld, he lost today, but he played a very strong game. I mean, he didn't give up any goals until the shootout.
He still gets credit
for
the shutout, though. Even though he gave up a goal in the shootout, he still gets credit for a shutout.
That's true, too. So, I mean, he played a great game today, and it's just the fact that his team couldn't produce any offense. Yes, Lundqvist played fantastically, too. He made a save, and on the rebound, he made a diving save, and he was still on the ground, and the shot came up high, and he lifted his leg and made another great save. So Lundqvist did play well, but just generally speaking, Alex Auld didn't get any offense from his team, and he still played a great game, and that gives him a lot of confidence, and it's a big momentum boost.
All right, thank you so much, guys. Have a great night, and keep up the good work.
All right,
thank you
for the call. Now, I want to talk about the New York Islanders and kind of the New York Rangers together. New York Islanders and New York Rangers played each other in the middle of the week. It was a home-and-home, and the New York Rangers, they won the second game at Nassau Coliseum. The Islanders won the first game at the Garden, but in the end, the New York Rangers got a total of 3 points, and the Islanders got a total of 2 because the Islanders, as we know, they won in a shootout. So they got 2 points, but the Rangers got 1. And then the Rangers won again in regulation 4-1. So,
yeah, it was a good week for the Rangers. They got 5 points in total. So.
Yes, yeah, you're absolutely right. So the Rangers, the 2 points and then the 1 point from the overtime and the shootout, they gave them 3 points, and then just the shootout win by the Islanders, that gave them their two. It was a very good week for the Rangers. And then the Flyers, the Flyers beat the Islanders last night 4-1. So, again, the Islanders got their second straight loss. And the Islanders, after winning, I believe it was 6 or 7 straight games, have really been struggling as of late. And the Islanders have now dropped all the way into 12th place. They have just 71 points. And the Islanders really have to step up their game.
How many points are they behind the 8th place team?
Behind the Philadelphia Flyers are in 8th place with 78 points. Ooh. So they are actually 7 points behind. And, you know, it's the Islanders have a tough stretch. I mean, they're 4-6 in the last 10. They're really struggling. The Islanders have to step up the game. This Tuesday, they're playing the Lightning on the road, and they're playing the Panthers on the road. And then Saturday, they're playing the Canadiens on the road. So, I mean, the Panthers are not a great team by any means. The Panthers are in 11th place, so they're just ahead. And then the Lightning, they're in 15th. So the Islanders are on the road, but they're playing two teams that have not proven to do so well lately either. The Islanders have to win those games. It doesn't matter that they're on the road. The Lightning, the Panthers and the Lightning really, I don't think, have a chance of making it into the playoffs. The Islanders do. The Islanders are a good team. They have to beat them. Then they play the Montreal Canadiens on the road. That's a tough game as well. That's a tough game. The Canadiens are in second place in the Eastern Conference. So in the next 3 games upcoming this week, the Islanders have to at least get 2 out of 3 and get 5 points. They need to get 2 wins and then, you know, against the Canadiens or somebody, get to overtime, get an extra point, do something. The Islanders really have to step it up. They've been struggling, and they've got to fix that. They really do. They have to stop struggling. They need to get back on track. They're a very good team. They have guys, Mike Comrie, Bill Guerin. And the thing that should worry Islanders fans, actually, is last night against the Flyers, the penalty kill for the Islanders has been excellent all season. They have a great penalty kill. And last night, all 4 goals that the Islanders gave up, those were all power play goals, every single one of them. So, I mean, after what we've seen, a very good penalty kill all season, now down the stretch where you need wins, the penalty kill, they give up 4 power play goals. And I don't know what to do. I don't know what the Islanders have to do, but they are struggling big time. And, you know, this is crunch time now. They got to get it. The Islanders are a very aggressive team. They will take advantage of your mistakes. But the fact that they've lost 2 straight now and the fact that the penalty kill has shown a huge weakness last night, Islander fans should be worried. They should be very worried.
Good teams find ways to win at the end of the season. Like the Rangers, beginning of the season, they were struggling, but now they figured out how to score and how to play like a team. And
yeah, Chris Jury's coming through. Gomez has been good all year.
And if the Islanders really are a good team, they'll figure it out how to play. And the last dozen games or so, they'll be able to play together and hopefully rally and make the playoffs. It's going to be interesting. They're definitely can't count them out yet. They're too good to count them out as of yet.
And our show is running low on time. I just want to add another quick point. Last week we talked about the Coughlin deal, but now it's official. It is officially announced. Coughlin has signed a 4-year, $21 million deal as coach of the Super Bowl, of the defending Super Bowl champs, the New York Giants. And you know, we spoke about that a little bit last week. He definitely deserves it after getting them to the playoffs every year and now finally winning the Super Bowl. That's just my opinion. I know last week Evan and I had a little bit of a disagreement on that, but you know, I think the Giants certainly owe it to him after the playoffs and the Super Bowl. Sports 7 with Mark and Evan is a sports radio show created for informing the public of the latest sports news and insights. Our show is broadcast over the internet to blogtalkradio.com from Jericho, New York. The views, comments, and statements of our interviews and guests do not necessarily reflect that of the hosts. We do not also claim ownership of any material used on the sports show or on the website, including voiceovers, musical beds, instrumentations, effects, team logos, league, and team names otherwise stated. If you wish for anything to be removed, please email us, sports7withmarkandevan@yahoo.com. You can also email us at sports7withmarkandevan@yahoo.com for any questions whatsoever, whether you want to just talk about sports or you have a question about upcoming shows or whatever it is. You know, send us an email. We'll get back to you immediately. We check it, you know, once or twice a day. So send us an email. Also, check out our official site at freewebs.com/sports7withmarkandevan. It's Mark with a K. And you could pretty much do anything besides, I mean, anything related to sports, you can get there. You get player news, scores, about upcoming shows, past shows. You can watch videos. So whatever it is, that's freewebs.com/sports7withmarkandevan. Also, check out myedimedia.com. That is a website. It is a network of shows, and we are on that network of shows, and we have just created a blog. There is new additions to that site all the time as well, so feel free to check that out. And just one more comment, it deals with the Knicks. I know that nothing really matters anymore, but Nate Robinson last night against the Portland Trailblazers scored 45 points in an overtime loss. The Knicks and Trailblazers were tied at 108 heading into overtime. They got it tied up in the fourth quarter, but of course they could not come out with the win, which is not anything unusual. But Nate Robinson, as I said, he played an outstanding game with 45 points. Zach Randolph, Jamal Crawford, and Eddie Curry all did not play in the game, so Nate Robinson stepped up and did a great job. What does that mean for the Knicks this season? Absolutely
nothing.
Nothing.
Hopefully Patrick Ewing will be the coach soon and the Knicks will get on the road.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, it means nothing for this season, but you like to see some of the players play well. Hopefully it can mean something next year. But I don't know what the point of watching the Knicks is anymore or anything, and I purposely see talking about the Knicks for the last 2 minutes because There's not even 2 minutes worth talking about, because you can analyze all the games, but they're going nowhere. They're a terrible team. They have a terrible coach, a terrible president, and that's that. So that concludes our show of Sports 7 with Mark and Evan this week. Tune in next week, same time, same place, same great show. It's Sports 7 with Mark and Evan live out of Jericho. I'm Mark Elliott.
And I'm Evan Branoff. See you next week. And a quick shout out to Teresa.
Good night, everybody.
Where it began, I can't begin to know it. But then I know it's growing strong. Wasn't the spring, and spring became the summer. Who'd have believed you'd come along? Hands, touching hands, reaching out, touching me, touching you. Sweet Caroline, good times never. through the night, and it don't seem so lonely. We fill it up with only two. And when I hurt, hurting runs off my shoulders. How can I hurt when holding you?